I've always, of course, wanted the work to have as broad an audience as possible. And in this day and age, you know, all the different ways that we can find to share our work with a larger audience is special. But when I was young, I had the fantasy of being a film director, and then I became a photographer. A film director has to be able to work with a whole lot of different kinds of people, which is something Dan's good at. I don't work play well with others, basically. So I found a way of making my little movies where I could be the only one that ever had to do anything outside of the subjects.
Well, now you somewhat, I think, facetiously say you can't play well with others. I've seen you at work. I've seen you take pictures of people. And you play very well with others.
That's a different thing. I'm talking about sharing office space and jointly editing a piece of work and telling somebody that they need to do this piece of work and do that piece of work, or having somebody else tell me what I'm supposed to be doing. That's a different level of interrelationship of which I apparently am not capable.
So the discussion came up one day at St. Paul's, or?
Well, we were looking at documentary projects, and we were all big fans of Andrew's work.
We being Fiery Moon.
Yes, at Fiery Moon. My wife and I. My wife is also executive producing on the film. And so we were discussing documentary topics, and Andrew was a natural choice, and we discussed it. And this began 2 years ago. We began talking about this project and laying out what it would take and how it would take. And then it seemed like this fall was the perfect opportunity to bring all the pieces together with all of the collections that Andrew's done in the past and then the collection that he's working on now. We felt like it would provide a great arc for a documentary film.
What sort of pieces have to come together?
Well, it's 4 decades, going on 5 of material, so it's thousands and thousands of prints. But there have been some really keynote collections that are so iconic and such a reflection of society in those time periods over the last 40 years. It's not just pictures of, you know, this specific type of people, but it's a cross section of America, and just the diversity that this town and this area represents.
May I just speak to that real quickly?
Yeah, yes.
We're having this great conversation as we begin to plan the film. The one faction is all for focusing on how deeply connected all human beings are and how the photographs that I make kind of explore and put an exclamation mark after that point that we are all connected, that we're all part of each other. But then there's also the fact that there's a lot of people in this world that are suffering, and that a big part of what I've done over the years is to photograph specialized populations of people whose lives are challenged in a particular way, so that those people can be more clearly understood by the mainstream population. So we have this great kind of debate going on about, okay, well, we need to focus on this part, or, well, yeah, but we need to focus on this part. So it's we're having a great time with that part, I think.
You have been putting on Facebook for some time some of the photographs that you've taken, and then telling the story in that Facebook update.
Mm-hmm.
And it's often addressed to God or dear Lord.
Oh, yeah. We weren't going to talk about God today. I'm sorry, Kyle.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's okay. We can talk about God.
I do. I've for several years now, I've had this morning practice of I'm kind of a I don't know. I've participated in a lot of different traditions over the years as an old hippie spent 2 years in India in the Peace Corps, et cetera, et cetera. So I have a lot of different ways of going about what we might call meditation. And one way is just to get up in the morning and set a timer and just sit in front of the computer and address myself to the God that I love and that I feel loves me and everybody else, and just see what comes out. And often what comes out is a little paragraph that fits well with a photograph. And what I do is I start out by taking one of those pictures that I've made at community meals and putting it on the display. And so I'm looking at that picture and I'm praying for that person and thinking, you know, well wishes for that person. And then turning myself towards God and seeing what comes out. And interestingly enough, a lot of people comment as much on the little prayers or kind of God conversations as they do on the pictures?
I think I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Because you know the names of people you photograph. You seem to know something about them. You ask them questions. Does that make you a better photographer if you know something a little bit more about the person?
I think you're asking a question you do know the answer to. Yeah, well, years ago, I was having this conversation with a person actually who was an owner of a photographic art gallery in New York who never did show my work. I don't know why. But anyway, I was telling her that somebody had said to me one time, now you talk to people for quite a long time before you photograph some so that you can make a better photograph, right? And I said, no, actually you have it exactly backwards. I photograph people so that I get to talk to them. I don't talk to them so that I can photograph them.
Daniel, you're producing, and Andrew is a subject. What kind of responsibility do you feel you have when this project is done to trying to get as much of Andrew to other people as possible in as real a way as possible?
Well, it's a huge responsibility. But it has been my goal as an artist for the last decade to be as transparent as possible with whatever I'm working with, to keep things as honest as possible, and then to let the work speak for itself. And with Andrew, we've got an amazing subject in that the work very much speaks for itself, and it's really a matter of kind of getting out of the way and letting the story unfold. And then helping people understand the title of the film is Ineffable Connections. And ineffable is a very difficult word.
Well, and, you know, at first blush, some people might think we're swearing.
Right.
It's something we call the alarm clock in the morning, the ineffable alarm clock.
Yes.
Let's talk about that title.
Ineffable means not able to be expressed with words. If you, Andrew likes to say, to F is to speak. And so then if it's ineffable, then you cannot speak about the connection, but you understand it. And so when you look at Andrew's work, and by the time you've gone through, the more photos you see, the more you feel a connection to all of those people, rather than kind of it turning into a wash of faces, you actually feel like you've made a connection with those people. So this ineffable connection is something that we feel like, and the goal of the film will be to show you how, over time, Andrew has shown us a way that we can understand each other in a way that can't really be expressed, but that everyone can understand.
You mentioned that many of your photographs have been of people who are challenged in some way. And then I want to go back to this title, Ineffable Connections, because some of these folks are people that you photograph that many people don't come into contact with, sometimes by choice, right? We choose where we go or where we don't go. And if you don't want to go to a community meal or something like that, is that one way to make us realize that we're connected, to sometimes show us people who we might not come into contact with otherwise?
Yes. Simply put, yes. I remember several years ago, the first time I did an exhibit called We Drew a Circle. It was about people who have developmental disabilities. And we made a big deal out of – I was living in Little Rock at the time. We made a big deal out of putting this huge exhibit in the middle of the biggest bank's foyer – not foyer, they're where all the tellers are. Mm-hmm. And it's also, interestingly enough, a big tall building where people take shortcuts through the space all the time. So there's a huge amount of traffic for a month. And this exhibit was right where they would walk. They had to walk around it. And so we had an opening. Over 500 people came to the opening, and usually they would have wine and cheese when they had openings, and they would have it at, like, after work on Friday. And I said, no, we want to have it on Sunday afternoon so that more people can come to it. And the brilliant person that was organizing it on the bank's part said, you know, I think we'll have milk and cookies instead. So we did. And a whole lot of the people that were in the pictures came to the opening. And so they would stand beside the picture that I had made of them. And then all these people without developmental disabilities would come through, and they would actually meet the person in the picture. It was the most incredible experience. So, yeah, my hope is that the ineffable connection that we feel when we look at the picture can become an actual connection as we have less reluctance to meet somebody who might seem a little scary to us if we didn't know better.
Andrew, you've got to be excited about this. I mean, Has this made you, at now that the conversation is really rolling and this is going to happen, has it made you think about your life's work any differently, in any sort of different category, or have you always thought about your work as a whole?
Well, that's a good question. I would say I just turned 71 2 days ago, and I have begun in the last few years to actually think about the body of work and to think about how that body of work might be seen by a larger audience. And there, as we talked about a moment ago, there are two different levels on which that works for me. One is just that deep level in which the work sponsors a sense of connection between all of us. But there's also a sense in which I feel that in our national conversation about what our country is becoming, the poor and the vulnerable are underrepresented. So if this work can help in some small way to bring those people to the table as we discuss where our country is going to go, that would be a wonderful thing. I really hope that this movie is more about the people that I have photographed than it is about me. I'm just the vehicle. I've told people 100 times that I think of it as just having had a really great seat for a process that went on through me and around me, and that I was lucky enough to be able to see.